road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome to the first episode of The Drive, a podcast that will be occurring at least one time a week and maybe more frequently. And I will be recording this podcast as I commute to Stillwater from Oklahoma City to work on my PhD in educational technology. I'm going to start this podcast for the reason that I've listened to so many podcasts on my drive that I feel like all of them have contributed in some way to my views on education and how I want to go about helping teachers just be even more brilliant. So some of those things that I've had the opportunity to listen to quite a bit over the past few months have been Freakonomics, the TED Radio Hour, Techlandia, the EdSurge podcast, and the TED Talks audio, This American Life, all kinds of different things. And all of them have had different things that they've talked about or said or stressed that I could apply to myself and then the research that I've started doing. So after listening to all these podcasts, I feel like it's time to give back. And will anybody listen? I don't know. I hope so. I hope this can become a podcast that can speak into you as a future teacher. And so the goal with this podcast is to, in 20 minutes or less, give you ideas that you can take into your classroom. Ideas for ed tech, educational technology, ideas for classroom projects, ideas for things to try as part of your professional development, ideas that maybe prompt you into thinking about different classroom models, all kinds of ideas, different things that you can do just to be a better teacher, to make your kids get the most out of their day as well, and just to provide something that maybe can spark an idea that after thinking about it leads to some super cool thing that you do in your classroom. That's the goal of this podcast. And to do that, I just thought I'm a captive audience with myself for my drive, and so for 20 minutes of that drive, I'm going to give ideas I'm just going to share what I've learned and share what I've messed with and share kind of what I know. So I hope you're ready for the drive. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think it'll be very interesting. I would love to have your feedback on the different things that we talk about. And I hope to just create something that has impact on our teaching world. The symbolism for the drive also is deeper. Not only am I driving to school, but there's a drive in all teachers to get better. There's a drive in all teachers to improve. There's a drive in all teachers to reach every student every day. There's a drive in all teachers to continue learning about the thing they teach. And so if you teach high school math, there's a drive to always make sure that you are teaching high school math the best way that you can. If you're an elementary school teacher, there's a drive to always make sure that your room is created in a way that just sparks students' learning. If you're using the same worksheet that you made on the purple mimeograph machine from 1981, this podcast may not be for you. It could really stretch you. I want this podcast to be something that gets you out of your comfort zone, that has you thinking about things that you think could be scary, that has you thinking about things that could be fun or scary and fun all at the same time. And so just the drive to improve, the drive to get better, the drive to reach these kids, that's the goal of this podcast, is to give you those ideas on how to do that. I really am looking forward to the conversation that we can have, and I look forward to reading your comments about what you like and don't like, and I look forward to being able to create a space of dialogue where, as teachers, we can just grow and grow and grow, because there's the second you stop growing as a teacher is the second that you start becoming an ineffective teacher. And a little bit about me, I taught high school, public high school, for 18 and a half years. I taught my first year of teaching, I taught world history at Guthrie High School, and it was really fun and eye-opening. And that first year was really hard, as all first-year teachers, as you'll remember. And as from then, I moved over into the mathematics department, and I've taught math ever since. So 1 year of world history, and then I've taught just about every math class that you can think of except statistics. That's the only math class. I've taught geometry and math analysis and pre-calculus and calculus. I've taught math concepts, algebra 1, algebra 2, intermediate, a lot of math stuff. But recently, within the past 5 years, I had just become fascinated by the things that technology can do in the classroom. And not technology to be forced into the classroom. Forcing technology into the classroom, that's not the right way to go about this. But by making the technology a fabric of your classroom, so when the kids walk in, if something's not there, they notice. Like, hey, we don't have this thing today. Why not? Where is it? That's what I want. Not a, how come we have to do this? Why are you making us use this? It's no good. It's not working right. So a few years ago, I really got into technology, and I thought it was great. And I got a piece of software from a colleague called Camtasia, and I started to flip my math class. And I roped my good friend Christina into flipping math classes, and we recorded a ton of videos together, about 400 of them. And we had the best time doing it. And it went from there to gamifying my classroom and moving towards mastery learning, where mastery learning is when students aren't allowed to move forward in class until they reach a specific, until they master the material. So for my class, the kids cannot move on unless they scored an 80% or better on any assignment that was graded. So that's mastery learning. The gamification part is taking elements from games and putting them into the classroom. It's not game-based learning, that's different, but gamification, where the kids get points for doing what they're supposed to do. They take those points and they can buy items in class that they can use, like, I forgot my homework, so here's, you know, I'm going to spend 5 points and get a homework pass. Or they can save their points up. And one of the things we had was divine intervention, where if more than one student had divine intervention, they could work together on a test and actually talk to each other during a test. There was the potion of wisdom that students could use to ask the teacher a question on the test. And the rule with that was the more specific the question, the more specific the answer. There was genie in a bottle, where the students could have one class hour to ask the teacher 10 questions and 10 questions only. I did not lecture very much my last few years of high school, so that was also a big one. So that's kind of gamification. And going back to the original thing, the flipped class idea, that's where you're taking your content for your course, whatever it is, and you can do this all the way down to the little kiddos in elementary school. But you send the material home for the kids to get at home, that get the lesson. So there's a website or a video you've created or something like that. It's not the actual homework. And then what happens is the students, with their parents, if necessary, can get that content at home. They can see how you want it to be taught. They see exactly the process that needs to be followed. And then the kids come back to school and actually work at school with the teacher on the homework. It's a radical idea, and it's way different than we grew up with, most of us. And so those are the things that put me where I am today. I applied to the Oklahoma State University College of Education. They have a PhD in educational technology. I applied for that program. I was accepted, and in January of this past year, I left the high school classroom to pursue my PhD full-time. It's been a great journey. Every step along the way has been fabulous. I truly have enjoyed it all. But this is one of those things that now where I want to start giving back a lot more. I want to help teachers a lot more. I want to be able to give teachers, seasoned veteran teachers who arch an eyebrow at the latest fad because they've seen it, they've been there, they've done that. What came by once is going to come by again. It's going to be here for a minute. It's gone tomorrow. And you know, seasoned teachers, we just arched an eyebrow at new things. You know, is this really going to stick? For example, in Oklahoma, we had a Common Core situation develop where for 5 years we prepared for Common Core. As teachers, we were arching eyebrows. Is this good? Is this bad? But we prepared for it because it was coming. And then the summer before Common Core was to be fully implemented in Oklahoma, the legislature basically struck it from the books. So whether you like Common Core or not, that's an argument for another day, but that's one example that has happened to teachers in general for a long, long, long time. Something comes, something goes. Educational technology is here to stay. Computers are in the classroom, they're not going away. Social media is only going to get more intricate and more involved. And as teachers, we can sit by on the sidelines and we can watch all that stuff happen and do nothing and take no action. Or we can get brave and we can try things that we haven't ever tried before. We can do things that we haven't ever done before. And we can see, will this make a difference? Will Twitter make a difference in the classroom? Will using Google, Google Plus make a difference in the classroom? You know, will flipping my class make a difference in my classroom? This educational technology, it is here. Let's use it to be brilliant. There are great, great, great things in it. The kids have the whole world in their pocket. In their pocket, they have the whole world. Let's harness that power. It's time to kind of change some of our views on learning. It's time to change some of our views on what the kids should and shouldn't be able to do. We've heard time and time again, we're creating students, we're teaching students, we're developing students for jobs we don't know because they don't exist yet. And my question then is, how can we do that if the only way we teach them is with the chalkboard or the whiteboard? If we don't give them the opportunity to explore that world with us as a role model for them and incorporate some of that fabric into how we teach. So that's the drive to get better, the drive to try something new, the drive to learn from failure, the drive to Stillwater. And I hope you join me on the drive and hope we can learn from each other. And I'm really, really looking forward to everything that's coming.